Okay. Good work here once again. Just before we start the actual shiur, just one announcement in terms of schedule. Mitzvah Shem, we will have a shiur next week, Motzai Shabbos, Parshas Truma. I'll discuss an as yet to be determined subject relating to Purim. 2 weeks from tonight, of course, is Purim, so there will be no Motzai Shabbos shiur. I take the opportunity, as always, to invite the attendees of the shiur to come to my home on Purim Day, sometime in the early afternoon, between 1:30 and 4 o'clock. I guess after Minchen, before your own Suda, please feel free to stop by for Simchas Purim. And then we'll determine together the subsequent weeks, because they're changing the clocks, as you know, earlier this year. They, I'll do the Kiddush again, Mr. Shem, yeah. Usually, right, there'll be some entertainment, Mr. Shem. So everybody's invited on Purim Day again between 1:30 and 4 o'clock. Okay. Anybody who has had the opportunity to visit Eretz Yisrael has most likely had the experience, probably more than once, of being approached by individuals in the vicinity of the Kosel Hamaravi and other places who are looking for tzedakah handouts. Maybe the word approached is too mild a word in some situations, but certainly some of the people are very skilled in identifying visiting American tourists, and they approach you and ask you for a tzedakah handout. There's certainly a mitzvah tzedakah. And some of these people, probably more so women than men, although men also, I think, will offer to give you in exchange for your charitable contribution a red string, a red thread. In Hebrew, chut adom, in Yiddish, right the bendel. And this red bendel, this red string, allegedly possesses the power to help ward off various evil spirits and ayin horas and other bad things which a person presumably would want to ward off. And they'll give you these red strings if in exchange for the few shkalim that you present them. If the red string has come into contact with the Matzeva by Kever Rochel, so it's all the better. It has even greater efficacy and greater power if it's been in other Mekomos Kedoshim. And if we look around, I don't think it's that common around here, but certainly we've all seen people of different backgrounds, men and women, different ages, even in our communities, who do wear a red string on their wrists. And how is that? I'm not sure myself, but you see people wear it, and it... Oh, so that's what I'm saying. Yeah, the truth is, in recent years, it's become popular among certain Hollywood personalities, pop entertainment stars and pop music stars, and others. They've become influenced by the teachings of the Kabbalah. I think that's how they pronounce it, the Kabbalah. And some of these people have been photographed. You can see pictures of these people wearing red strings. There are Kabbalah institutes and Kabbalah organizations, and I think you yourself can contact one of these Kabbalah institutes and get your very own red string for as little as $25, if you so desire. So the purpose of this evening's shiur is not to examine the question of whether these red strings are effective in producing the powers they're alleged to produce. I'm not an expert in Kabbalah. I'm not an expert in regular traditional Kabbalah either. And I can't really say, Amy Asik Ministorum, like they say at Ministorum, so I can't really say whether they're effective or not, although I think that the one area, it is a segula. If you're wearing a red string on your wrist, you will most likely be able to ward off people who are trying to sell you red strings, because you can show them you've already got a red string. But as far as other segulas, okay, again, it's not for me to say. What I'd like to discuss this evening is whether in fact, not whether it works, it doesn't work, whether in fact it's mutter, whether in fact it's permissible, to wear such a string. And as always, I'm not coming here to paskin halacha lemaisa. Just want to go through, as we generally do, the what the inyanim are. The pasuk in this morning, the sedrin, parshas mishpatim. The red threads, the red strings. I don't know the superstition. I'm using that as a starting point. That's very popular today, the red string. Yeah. Huh? They put them by babies' cribs, right. Yeah. It's all the same thing. So possibly, anyway, we'll see. Again, I'm not here to paskin, but rather to just present the inyanim. The pasuk says in Parshas Mishpatim, this morning's leining, Perak Chof Gimel, pasuk Chof Dalid, referring to the nations that occupied Eretz Canaan prior to the arrival of the Jews that were identified in the previous pasuk, pasuk of Gimel, mentions Amori. That's the first one listed. Amori v'achiti v'apriz v'aknani hachiv v'haybusi. So in pasuk Kaf Dalet it says Lo sishtachavel leloheihem v'lo sa'avdein. Do not bow down to their gods, the gods of these idolatrous nations. V'lo sa'avdein. Do not worship them. V'lo sa'aseh k'ma'asehem. And do not do like their deeds. Do not do their behave in their manner. The Ramban, in his commentary on this pasuk, says, "V'lo sa'aseh k'ma'aseihem yitochein shehi azhara midarkei ha'emori shemonu chachomim." The Ramban says it's possible that this pasuk is the source for that which it says in the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Samazayin. We'll see the Gemara momentarily. The Gemara lists certain practices which are identified as darkei ha'emori, the ways of the Amorites. The Amori tribe. It doesn't mean only the Amori. Some point out it's called Darkei Amori because Amori happens to be the first one listed in this section over here. Or other suggestions to why the Amori are listed. But whatever the reason, Chazal call it these practices Darkei Amori. And the Ramban indicates that it's possible that this pasuk, which says Velo Saseh Kemaseh, here in Mishpatim, is the source for the practice not to follow for the mitzvah not to follow the Darkei Amori. Kemo Shehizir B'Mokom Acher B'Chosem Lo Selecho. As the Torah itself mentions elsewhere in Parshas Achrimos, Vayikra Perek Yuches Pasuk Gimel, it says, "Ukoseam lo seilecho," again, not to follow the statutes of the idolatrous nations. Amru Eilu Darkei Hamori Shemonu Chachamim. That's a reference to Darkei Hamori. Now the Ramban goes on to demonstrate that he in fact thinks that that's not what our pasuk is talking about. He prefers to learn our pasuk differently, but he says, "Yitachein," it's possible that this is one of the sources. The Orach Chaim HaKadosh on this same pasuk mentions a number of reasons why we have this tzibu here, and he says one reason is Leo Sherotza Lahazir Shalo Yidume Lahomos B'Maaseihem. Now Aruch Chaim is bothered. We already have a commitment to the Aseres HaDibros, and not to worship other gods. What do we need this for? So he says that one reason is because we shouldn't even copy their practices. Because if it wouldn't have first said Lo Sishtachavev Lo Sa'avdein in the Aseres HaDibros, not to bow, not to worship, and so on, which is repeated here. Lo Yalel Das Enes Lomo Shechavin Akaz Loma Amai Secho. I would have thought this pasuk when it says Lo Saseh Kemaseihem, I would have thought it means not to worship their gods. However, and we never would have thought that it prohibits other activities She'ein Bo Avodah Zara, right? There are activities which the goyim do which are not inherently Avodah Zara practices. So I never would have thought that's also Vehechrech Lomo She'ein Over Al Amai Seisah She'Avodah Zara Ach Omar Ach Achar She'Omar Lo Sistachavev Lo Savdein. But after the pasuk already says, don't bow them, don't worship their gods, so then this tells us that which it says something, even an activity which is not noticeably an avodah zarah type of activity, that remains awesome. Not to dress like non-Jews, not to have hairstyles like they do, and so on. And that's what's included in this particular pasuk. Now, of course, this is one can give several shiurim to understand how far do we take that and what we apply to it. Again, the Aruch Chaim, I'm simply pointing out, is also understanding that the source in our parsha, in this pasuk, is not to mimic the habits of the non-Jews. The Mishnah in Maseches Chulin, on Daf Ayin Zayin Amud Aleph, says the following, Ayin Zayin Amud Aleph in Chulin, the Mishnah said, "Hashochet is a behemah." If somebody shechts an animal, this is in the end of Parak Dan Makash, it says, "Ayin Zayin Amud Aleph." It says the Mishnah says, if somebody shechts an animal, "Motza Bashilya," and you find inside the animal, a fetus, I guess, would be the best. The placenta, right? That's what I know. The placenta, right? The placenta. Okay. So the Mishnah discusses what you can and can't do with it, and towards the end of the mission, it discusses other things. Also, when you have to find the shilya from an animal, the placenta. So it says, "Ve'ein kovrin osa b'parashas parashas drachim." You don't bury the shilya at a crossroads. "Ve'ein tolin osa be'ilan." You also don't hang it on a nearby tree. Why would one want to do that? "Mipnei darkei ha'emori." "Mipnei darkei ha'emori." That's what the mission says. Apparently, these were practices which were followed by some people for superstitious reasons that next time it'll have a healthy, if you take this shilya, this placenta, so it's, again, a good luck charm in effect, to hang it on a tree or to bury it in a certain place. So our Mishnah says you're not allowed to do that mipnei darkei ha'emori. We're not permitted to follow that because it's darkei ha'emori. Rashi here in the Mishnah says darkei ha'emori. It's nichush. Nichush is probably best translated as sorcery or, you know, divination, that kind of stuff. It's nichush. Uchsim, and Rashi quotes, our pasuk will osasek ha'emasayim. The pasuk says, "Lo tasek ha'masayim." Apparently, in those days, the days of the Mishnah of Gemara, the goyim had, or some goyim, certain people had this practice to do this with the placenta when they shechted an animal. So we're not allowed to do that because of darkei ha'emori. Elsewhere, we'll see. There is a Mishnah Maseches Avodah Zarah, Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, in Avodah Zarah. The Gemara mentions that the previous Mishnah discusses whether you can burn the property of a king who passes away. So the Gemara here discusses it was a Goyish practice, but the Gemara says, "V'hatanya sorfin alamlochem v'lo midarkei ha'mori." There's a brisa which says that one can sorfin alamlochem. You can burn the property of the king v'lo midarkei ha'mori. Rashi says, "Any no, this practice, even though the Goyim did it, but that's not considered darkei ha'mori." We don't have to worry, says Rashi again, lochos lelosa se kemaseim. Again, a reference to our pasuk. So I'm just bringing these comments of the Gemara and of Rashi in because the Ramban in our parasha said it's possible that losa se kemaseim is the source for avoiding practices called darkei ha'emori. And Rashi so far in two places where the Gemara identifies the, or uses the term darkei ha'emori, Rashi in both places referred to the pasuk in our parasha. So he evidently thinks that that is certainly a makor. The other, or I would say maybe the more principal source, as to what it covers. Now, the more principal source for the whole discussion of darkei ha'emori is the Gemara in the sixth parak of Masechet Shabbos, the Mishnah on Daf Samech Zayin Amud Aleph, in Shabbos, Samech Zayin Amud Aleph says as follows, Yotzin on Shabbos you're not allowed to go out, we're talking about that on Erev, so you're not allowed to go out and wearing certain types of garments, which are not really normal garments. It wouldn't be classified as clothing, wouldn't be classified as jewelry, right? So the Mishnah discusses, particularly with regards to a woman who wear these types of things, what's considered permissible to walk out wearing on Shabbos and what's not. So one of the things the Mishnah mentions here on Samach Zayin with Aleph is Yotzin bebeitzas achargo. You can go out with the egg of a locust, with a shein shul, and the tooth of a fox, and the nail which had been used to hang somebody, mishum refuah, because it has some sort of refuah quality to it, some sort of therapeutic quality to it. Divir Meir, that's according to a Meir. V'chachamim ostrin af b'chol. Chacham say, never mind Shabbos, you're not allowed to do this even on a weekday. Why? Mishum darkei ha'emori, because it's a practice darkei ha'emori. So v'chok, the tanoim, with certain activities, whether they're mutter or not. So the only question was a Shabbos question. Chacham say, never mind Shabbos, not even allowed on a weekday. Here, interestingly, Rashi here in Shabbos says on the words darkei ha'emori, nichush, again he says it's sorcery, uksiv u'b'chukoseyam lo selechu. Here Rashi quotes the other pasuk, the pasuk in Achrimos, as the source, that's in Vayikra, Perek Yudches, pasuk Gimel, u'b'chukoseyam lo selechu. Again, for those who are interested in following up the issue of, of Rashi, so the, the Tosis Yom, I don't know if I brought it or not, I'm going to bring it. But okay, the Tosis Yom Tov and Chulin, on the Mishnah, discusses it, tries to figure out why Rashi in one place says it, one source and one says the other source. He says the Girsa question, the Tosis Yom Tov says that he tries to change he says the mistaken Girsa in Rashi, he tries to make it jive. Okay, we don't have to fuss about that too much to figure out Rashi. Pshat, certainly our Pasuk is a source. The Sifra, the Ramban referred to it in our post, the Sifra in Parshas Achrimos, on the words of Chosem Leiselechu, says the following, this is the Sifra, the Torah's Kohanim, in Parshas Achrimos, Perik Yud Gimel, Simon Ches, it says, Chosem Leiselechu, v'chimahani achakosif salo amru, what do you need such a general phrase of Chosem Leiselechu for? All the things you're not allowed to do have already been specified. Chosem Leiselechu is a general comment, don't follow the practice of the Goyim. What else is there that the Torah didn't already cover? Covered Avodah Zarah, everything should be covered. Okay, rather, so says the Sifra, it means, lo selechu, shalo selechu b'nimusas shalahem, b'dvar machakukim lahem, kagon, Teatrot, the Kerkesos, the Istoryos, okay, which is not what I'm going to do now, going to circuses and theaters and so on, it's not what I'm mentioning now. Rameh Omer Elu Darkei Ho'emori Shemanu Chachomim. So this is similar to what we said. Darkei Ho'emori, the Torah's Kohanim is saying, is not necessarily a practice that could be automatically identified as an idolatrous form of service. Not Avodah Zarah, but it's a practice to which Goyim or certain Goyim or certain idolatrous nations followed, and that's what's not allowed. It's interesting also that Well, that's the first part which I don't want to go into now. I don't want to go into that. Right, so that's up to see. So I just want to mention, it was just hinted at before, there is a third source, another pasuk. In Vayikra, Rashi, I want to read the Rambam in the Parashah Mishnah there in Shabbos, it's Parak Vav Mishnah Yud, the Rambam mentions yet another Pasuk, a Pasuk in Parshas Kedoshim, in Vayikra Parak Chav, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Parak Chav Pasuk Yud Gimel, where it says, V'lo selchu b'chukos agoy. So you have, v'chukosem lo selechu, you have v'lo selchu b'chukos agoy, and you have in our Parashah, v'lo selchem ha'aseyim. So all these things together sort of add up to what it is that you that we have a legitimate source for the Isser of Darkei Ho'emori. The Rambam really himself in the Sefer HaMitzvos, Mitzvos Losa Se Lamed, the Rambam kind of sort of combines it. He said, "He's hirano milaleches bedarkei akum umisnag min hagosem ba'filu b'mabushehem." Etc. Who Amri Yisrael Lo Sechu B'Chukos Hagoy? He mentions Lo Sechu B'Chukos Hagoy, the pasuk in Kedoshim. He also says Lashon Sifri B'Chukosem Lo Seilechu. He quotes the other pasuk. So I don't think that there is a steer here. It's just different sources. Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll have to see. We'll have to see. Oh, by Los Onen and Los Anafish, those are more specific. Maybe more specific. The Sefer Yireim from Elezer Mitz, one of the Rishonim, who has also Sefer Mitzvahs. So, it seems that I have an older edition, so sometimes when I see reference to the Sefer Yireim, it's a different organization. It's a Simon something or other, and I have to go hunting to find it. But in my edition, it's Simon Peches. You see it referenced as Simon Shin Yud Gimel. So, whatever you're going to look it up in the Sefer Yireim, you have both sources. It says, he starts with the pasuk Areisim Elokecha, Shelo Selech B'Chukos Hagoyim Lo Sase Kemas Zayin Umos Tuksiv B'Parshas Ve'Ela Mishpatim. He quotes our parsha, Ve'Ve'Acha Hashem El Eretz Hamori, etc. Uksiv B'Asrei Lo Sase Kemasayim and Uksiv B'Parshas Achremos Kemas Eretz Mitzrayim Asher Yishavtim Bo. We know that from the laning on Yom Kippur afternoon, right? Kemas Eretz Mitzrayim Asher Yishavtim Lo Sasu Kemas Eretz Kanan Asher Nemiris Kam Shom Lo Sasu Uvkoseim Lo Seilechu Pirish Afilu Einan Averos. They're not averus per se. They're not activities which, again, are idolatrous in nature. Elamaisim v'chukos shehurgalu la'asos kein l'shem Torah shalahen hizhiram Torah aleihen. It's there. They do these things as part of their behavior, but it's not necessarily exactly for service. And this is exactly says the Sefer. I'm going to come back to the Sefer later. What he says that we are required to avoid. Tosis in Sanhedrin. Did you forget to bring that? Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry. I forgot to bring it. It doesn't matter. Don't bother. Yeah. While we're talking again. Okay. Right. Good. So that's, we'll see in a second. The Maharik has that comment. The Maharik has a famous tshuva. Yeah, but the Marit spells it more out than connecting to the Chok. We'll see the Rambam. We'll see both of them. It's a good Ha'ara. Assuming that the Limud is principally from B'chukosem O'Salechu, in Echanami. Thanks. Tosin of Azaradaf, Nun Beis and Beis. Now, what I want to do now is kind of just define, I just want to define what the Rishonim say exactly. What is this? What are these practices exactly? And at least to give us some hint as to what we take from it. So Tosin of in Sanhedrin, Daf Nun Beis or Beis, the Dimaskul Ella, it's talking about that same business about burning the property of the king. So after his death, obviously, it says at the end of Tosa, Aval Hocha Iri B'Chok Aovde Kochavim Shelo L'Shem Avodas Kochavim. So the first thing he says is that it's not an Avodah Zarah issue. Tosa clarifies, it's not Avodah Zarah, right? It's Chok It's chol ka'ov de kochavim shelo l'shem avodas kochavim. Okay, duri b'sayif the cave of the tzibarai salom and aru gamrin mishari. Okay, for example, the Gemara discusses, and that's the sugi here. It's arba misas. That's the parak in Sanhedrin. Can you execute by means of a sayif, by means of beheading? That's one of the arba misas does. And a sayif, a sword. But yet, that was the way. I mean, that was off of your head, right? That was the standard means of execution. Good. We'll see that too. But Tosis, anyway, but again, for all I want to show you right now is that Tosis has the expression clearly that it's not for the purpose of Avodah Zorah. Okay? Tosis in Maseches Avodah Zorah, which we looked at before, I'm just going to close it. Tosis in Maseches Avodah Zorah, on that same daf, Yud Aleph from Aleph, Bidir Masul of the E, is a long Tosis. He says in the middle, Lechach Piris Ri, Detrei Gavna Chuka Havu. There are two types of Chukim from Avodah Zorah, says Tosis. Echad she'osim l'shem chok avodas kochavim. Okay, one thing they do as part of avodas kochavim. The echad she'osim l'shem das hevel ustus shelahem. And nonsense, superstition, silly stuff. What? Okay, can talk about that another time. But that's what Tosis says. Okay, in other words, there's certain things that we do that they do. It's not avodah zarah. It's just something that hevel and ustus. And that's what he says again at the end. Okay, there's certain things that are not Avodah Zorah per se, but we shouldn't do it after in Haga and Shostus. Even if it's for, things that they do that are meaningless and silly, we're not supposed to copy that, we're not supposed to imitate those practices either. I forgot. I don't think there's examples of that, no. Okay. He gives an example of the other kind. Okay. There's also a comment, the Shulte Giborim and Masecha Shabbos, on the Aflamed Aleph, Amid Aleph, in the pages of the Rif. He says, the Sutta Geborim writes, V'chol Eila and all of these practices, Sha'asu Chacham Mishum Darkei Amara, Ein Bohem Mishum Refuah, they don't have real therapeutic, that's what he claims, they don't have real therapeutic value, Ela Nechashim Uksamim Heim, it's again, it's sorcery, it's divination, Sheregilim Bohem Hanachim La'asas Bohem Siman Tov, right, it's again a good luck charm, it's a good sign or something like that, O Shalol La'asos Siman Ra, or the other things that are bad luck with black cats or ladders and other things like that. This is what the Shulte Geborim says in Masechah Shabbos. The Ran in Chulin on Daf Chof Zayin Ad Aleph does, Daf Chof Zayin Ad Aleph on the page of the Rif, the Dibur Masul is Ein Bo, and he says towards the end of that Dibur Masul, his language is, these are things mishum darkei amora osa maisa to shalom she'ein bohem to'elus. There's no real value to it. There's nothing really beneficial that one gets out of these practices. That's what the Ran says. The definition of darkei amora is elsewhere. The Ran in his chidushim to Chulin, his chidushim Sanhedrin. Did I bring the right one? Yeah. It's Chedushim to Sanhedrin, on that same daf, Nun Beis, when Aleph Adil Masil Rabbanon. Here he writes, Hapam Anochon Shatora Osor Kol Minag Miyuchad L'Nemusa Avodas Elilim Shem Yimashich Adamachin Kamosa V'chein Nami Im Hakusiyim Nagu Be'eze Minag She'ein Lo Mobo B'Darka Ateva. It doesn't have any explanation through rational science or through nature. And also below Nis'ames HaNisayon, and it hasn't been shown as effective or truthful by practice, Ha'ose Kemosan Yesh Bohem Midarke HaMashum Darke HaMor. Now here, the Ran already opens a little bit of a door to say that, well, if you have something which, seems to work, so then there wouldn't be. He says, Lo Nis'ames B'Nisayon. Again, how literally we want to take, how far we want to take that subject to interpretation, but he's saying Darke HaMor is only when it's not really verifiable that it has any value. Now, I mentioned before the Maharik has a very important tshuva on Chukas HaGoyim in general. It's the Tshuvas Maharik of Yosef Kalon. On the later Rishonim, there are more calls from time to time. Shorish Pei Ches. He's talking here, again, it's an important tshuva on many levels, because it says how far do you take it. The shaila he was asked was that apparently people in the medical field wore a certain type, like today, they were like lab coats, they wore a certain type of coats, and that became the practice, and that's how you could identify who was a doctor. And the Jewish doctors wanted to know, are we permitted, or is this a matter of Chukas HaGoyim also? So anyway, that's an important tshuva, which I'm not going to go through the whole tshuva now, I think I spoke about it on other occasions. But anyway, that's the Maharik. But the Maharik actually mentions, as Yitzhak indicated before, the idea of chok being something, in our terms, chok always means a mitzvah we don't understand, right? Like Parashat Pora. So he says, Deloshon chok, mashma dober asher ta'amo ne'elam. Right? Its reason is hidden. We don't really know what, you know, what it is. And therefore, so too, when the Torah says, Shalalelech v'koseim, Deloshe dober mishune, asher ein bo tam nigle. So he wants to justify wearing the jackets because that has a good reason, that people should know who the doctors are, right? He said, what is Hukos Hagoyim? What is the, these are things which are pointless. There's no, again, like we saw in the round before, there's no particular visible toelis to it. And again, it's something, so it's also Dover Mishuna, She'im Bo Tam Nigla, Ela She'im Noagin Kain. That's what they do. And therefore, it's Nira Vada, Kinim Shachachachim Amodalan. If you do it, so it looks like you're trying to identify with them. But a guy who was a doctor wants to wear a jacket. It's not that the goyim are wearing a jacket. The doctors are wearing. He wants to identify with the doctors. Now, that's his basic point. And therefore, one second. Okay, fine. Same idea. Okay, the chassidim don't wear ties, but for this reason, we do. Yeah. Okay, so, but that was like we saw in Tosis, two packs of chukim. Yeah. Yeah.
Even if you want to say that, it's very hard to take that and shift it over to Chukos Hayat. Does that mean the same thing goes for that?
Yes or no? I mean, the Marik does. Marik is Kedai Lishmachalov. Let me just read a little bit what he says. He says, listen to his point. The Marik says it. The Marik says, otherwise, if it's something which is silly and pointless, why else are you doing it if not to identify with them? Why would you do such a bizarre thing if it has no value? And just the goyim do it, so you want to do it too. So that's exactly what's also. But even if it's not a religious practice, that's his point. Even if it's not a religious practice, they do it. But it has, so if it's religious practice, so it's easier to understand what. I don't know. That's what they do. Maybe. So he says. Anyway, and that which says in Masech Shabbos, we'll see in the Gemara. The Gemara lists the different things which the Chachamim felt were part of. Part of their practice. Later on, he says sometimes it's because of it's porridge gedder and smears. That's a different issue. But that's the well known tshuva of the Maharik. The Ran in another place, and then we'll actually see the Gemara. The Ran in Avodah Zarah. The Ran on the Rif in Avodah Zarah, at the beginning on Daf Beis and Beis in the page of the Rif in Avodah Zarah. The Ran throws in something, and you just mentioned it. That's Dira Masel Sorfin. Here already, the Ran throws in the comment that there's a srach avodah zarah. Right, there's a hint. What's included here is something where there's a hint at avodah zarah. So, you know, that's the Ran over here. The Ran, he's talking again about sorfin, but it discusses, you know, he discusses in general the issue of dark emori. So he mentions that the dark emori things that have sort of like a srach avodah zarah to it. There's sort of a hint or a tinge, if you will, of Avodah Zarah. Okay. The Rambam in the Mor Nebuchim discusses this in Chelek Gimel Perek Lamed Zayin. The Rambam writes as follows, I'm reading a few choice quotes that I marked off. He says, V'osam ha-pu'ulo she'osam ha-mechashvim ein ha-yigon mechayvam v'lo yamin ha-seich ha-shem gormim mu'uma klal. Those things which magicians do, one should not believe that they have any real truth to them at all. Later on, the Rambam writes, "Ulaharchik mikol maseh haksafim, to keep far away from all these types of practices." Hizir milasos dover mimin hagam. That's why the Torah says not to follow their practice. Bafilu mimashet other things. He gives some examples. He says, "Klomar kol maseh ovim shehu mamoel mimashet ein ha'iyun hativi mechayvo." Anything which the goyim say works, but it's not something which Ion HaTV, the Rambam, you know, they look into it scientifically, doesn't tell you that. Ela Noheg Lefi Dimyona Mederach HaSgula, right? It's just something that's a sgula, a charm of some sort. Behu Amru Lo Se Velo Sechu B'chukas HaGoy. The Heim Shekorin Osam, the Chacham call it Darke HaMori. Mitei Shem Anfei Maas HaMechashrim, Lefi Shem Gorm She'ein Higayon Tiv'i Mechagom. And they moshkim la'asiyas ha'kshof ma'ashem yish'am l'dram kochavim v'hechreich and so on. V'omru b'feirish. However, even the Rambam now says, and he's referring to a Gemara which we'll see presently, even the Rambam says, however, kol she'yesh bo mishum refuah, Ein bo mishum darkei hamori. Something which does have medicinal or therapeutic benefits, it is not considered prohibited by darkei hamori. But the Rambam says, kavonosam, what do they mean by that? That's the same chazal. What do they mean? Shekol ma shemechayev oso ha'ion ha'tv. If looking into this in a scientific manner, right. So you look into this from a scientific perspective, then you find out that it has benefit. That's mutter v'zulas zeh osur. Okay. Now, you're going to ask me this mishnah in Chulin that we just read. Okay, the fox tooth and so on and so forth. Right. And that's the mishnah that we started with, the tooth of the fox. So the Rambam writes, don't ask me about that. Why? At that time, they thought they'd proven through whatever, examination, hypotheses that they examined, they thought that experience, they thought that it did work. Okay? Okay? And shekol dovar shenis ames nisyonos kigon elu afal pishen aigon mechayv amutu la'asos arel mishum refua. Something which just seems to work, so the Rambam admits that that's okay. However, yeah, that's the problem. Okay, and the Rosh Bo is going to point out that the Rambam is a little bit, I don't want to say hedging a little bit, but maybe a little bit. In other words, he's saying that you're really not allowed to do these things, and I guess he's not ready to condemn entirely everything. And then what's that? I know, but then you think that it works, and I don't know. So, listen to what he says. Okay, listen to what he says in the Mishnah Torah. That's in the Moreh Ruchin. In the Mishnah Torah, the Rambam writes in Perek Yud Aleph of Hilchas Avodas Kochavim Halacha Tes Zayin, after summarizing a lot of these things, again, Perek Yud Aleph of Hilchas Avodas Kochavim Halacha Tes Zayin, well, after all these things, he's talking about Shoel Ov and Yidonia going to consult the spirits and what we call seance and these type of activities. The Rambam writes, Udvar Ma'elu, Kulon Divrei Sheker V'Chozer Hein. This is all lies and it's falsehood. The Hein Shehitu Bohen Ode Kochama Kadmonim L'Goy Aratzis Kadeshi and Haglachrein. This is something that the original idolaters sort of tricked people into. The Ein Roy L'Yisrael Shem Chachamim. No, intelligent Jewish people are a wise nation. We shouldn't be involved in these stupid practices. And not to even have a hava meaning that there are any benefit to this. And the Neman, he quotes various psukim. And kalamamin b'dvarim ha'elu chiyotzon mechasher b'libo shein emes u'bar chochmo aval ha'torah asartan. And even to believe, no, there really is something to it, just the Torah asks it. In other words, you could say, all right, I'm not going to do it because the Torah says not to do it, but it really has value. The Rambam says, Eina ela min hasichlum mechaser hadas. Such a person is foolish and, lacks intelligence. Okay, and I'll read the next line of the Chah. Nosher akhtanam shein da'atam shema. Whatever that means. Avol balei hachochma utmimei hadas. People who are intelligent and of a full, complete mind, yedu barayos brurus shakol elu agarm shasra Torah enam diber chachma elatohu vehevel shenimshichu behen chasre adas and so on. Meizamra Torah the tomim tiyam eshal kecha. That's the Ram over here. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know that's. Okay, we're going to see that the Rosh Bo really is that against the Rambam. He's not really, so you see the Rambam's team. But I do want to mention one thing on this Rambam, the Vilna Gaon in the Shulchan Aruch, it's on this. The famous comment that the Gro has, it's Simon Kuf Ayin Tes in Yoredeya. Simon Kuf Ayin Tes is the laws of Ma'onenu Mechasek, these people who magicians and so on. So on Simon Kuf Ayin Tes, Sivkot Yud Gimel, he quotes the Rambam, right? And the Gro writes about the Rambam, the Mechilas Kvodo, he says, "Behu nimshach achar ha-philosophia." The Rambam was too involved in philosophy, and the Gaon goes on to prove that there are places in the Gemara which we see the Chazal understood that some of these things did work. However, we understand it. And the Gaon, the Gaon says, the Rambam's mistake was, so to speak, that he, he was too, and that's his lashon, nimshach achar philosophia, and, sophia hitaso, And the philosophy sort of tripped the Rambam up to interpret the Gemara, Lefarsh HaGemara HaKol B'Derech, you know, that everything was halotza, it wasn't meant to be taken literally, and so on. And anyway, so that's just a note, know that the Vilna Gaon, again, the Vilna Gaon can take on the Rambam. Many of us wouldn't, but the Gaon says that it hit philosophy messed it up.
Well, if the Rambam's right, then the people are saying the Gemara's right or misled by the misunderstanding.
Oh, well, the question, how do you understand the Gemara? So let's see what the Gemara says. Let's see the Gemara itself. That's one part. I mentioned before, a few of the sources mentioned Elu Darkei HaMori Shemanu Chachamim, right? There are places where the Chachamim listed Darkei HaMori. So if you're interested in taking a look, in Masechah Shabbos, in the Tosefta, in Masechah Shabbos, Perek Zion and Perek Ches. Okay, we have two whole chapters in the Tosefta and Shabbos, printed in the very back of the Big Shabbos, which has, when Perek Zion begins, Elu Dvarim Darkei HaMori. The following document, a long list of all these different things, saying certain things, clapping and making certain types of noises and doing things with animals, all kinds of unusual practices. Two whole chapters, I say, in the Tosefta in Shabbos, Perek Zion and Perek Ches. In the Gemara in Shabbos, the Gemara on that Mishnah, on Daf Samach Zion, Amud Aleph, the Gemara mentions some of them. The Gemara says, Tani Tana B'Perek Amoroi, in the parak of the Darkei Amori, it's actually two chapters. It says that Kamei Debchir Avin Amale. It says the list Amale Kulo Ispush Mishum Darkei Amori Levar Mehani. All Darkei Amori except for some of them. And they mention the Gemara mentions some. Someone's got a bone stuck in his throat. He should say certain things. The Gemara allows it. Not me Darkei Amori. Then the Gemara, on the rest of the page, finishes up the parak, quotes some of the things from that Tosefta. Rashi B'dir Maskel Kulo Ispuhu writes Kol Hashnuyo Sham. All those things that are listed over there, those prokhim in the Tosefta, Al titel omer be'echem em ein bo mishum darkei amori. Do not think that any of those things are not darkei amori. They're all darkei amori. Ela b'chulan atashone yeshbo levar mehani beis she'elu shefer. Except for these two. That's what the Gemara there is talking about. Okay? Now, the Chiddush Aran, over there in Shabbos, on Samach Zayin Amud Aleph, says, he just mentions that there are some shitas, okay, slightly different gear, sir. The Ramah with the hey, you know, the Meir HaLevi has, one of the Rishonim has a different gear in this Gemara altogether, so I'm just bringing it to your attention, that says all these things are not Darkei Amori. But Rashi clearly holds that way, that it is Darkei Amori. The Bir HaGroh, if you want to look it up in your day, over there, Sukkot and Ches, discusses what the correct gear is. Now, for our purpose this evening, having advertised, we're talking about the red strings, we find the following comment. In that Tosefta, we'll go back. Now, this is not quoted in the Gemara, and that may be significant, as we'll see in a few moments. But you look in the Tosefta there in Shabbos, in Perek Zion, Halacha Aleph, you find the following statement. These are things which are Darkei Amori, and one of them is, HaKosher Mitulteles Al Yerecho, put some type of a cloth on his thigh, V'chut Adom Al Etzba'o. A red string on your finger says openly in the Tosefta, now notice it says finger, that's what it says, a red string on your finger, that's listed in the Tosefta, the very beginning of Perek Zion, as something which is usur, Darkei Amori, and from one perspective you can say it's an open and shut case. Now it's interesting, in the second parak of the two, Perek Ches, in Halacha Dalid, we find there, HaKosher Chut Al Gabe Adom. The word al-gabe is in brackets, so there's a girsa issue, obviously, a kosher chut, who ties some kind of a string on something red. So the one of the perushim in the Tosefta, the Chasdei David, says that it's talking about someone there, it's talking about someone who's got a red, like a sore, a black and blue mark, or a red thing on any part of the body, really. He writes, Ulai zeh masher isi kashi'il adam min cholik, a certain type of shakar in Yiddish, rosa, which I guess is, you know, the color of a rose, nosin lov kmin kesher, v'nachesh v'ishos in kesher mamish b'chut, people tie it or something like that. Now, according to this Chasdei David, there is no relationship between that which is in Perek Ches and that which is in Perek Zion. However, there is a sefer called Reishis Chochma, which is from one of the Mekubalim, the Talmud of Rav Moshe Cordovero. So, and there's a sefer Reishis Chochma in the parak called Derech Eretz, and Simon Tess Zion, his girsa is, He has Reb Tzadok Omer Hakoser Al Yodo Chut Adom Harezu Midarke Hamori, and he seems to put the two together. And as we read in the Tosefta and Parak Zion on his finger, so one could argue, okay, so today people don't wear on a finger; they wear on the wrist, so it's not a violation of Tosefta. And it could be that that's correct. However, the Reish Lakish could be that's correct. That's what I'm saying. And the Malamed Chos, but here in the Reish Lakish, again, it's written by Mekubal. And he writes Hakosar al Yodo Chut Adom, because he combined, and you can see by who he quotes, and I'm not going to spend the time, but you can see how who he quotes, that he's putting together the statement in Parakhes and the statement in Parak Zion as one unit, as if to say, don't get excited about the fact that it's his finger, it applies to the hand as well. And so, with that in mind, it's a little bit difficult to justify the practice that people have to wear a red string. It seems to be foolish against the Tosefta. However, the Minchas Elazar, Amun Katzer, in the little sefer called Divrei Torah, has in Madura Tinyon, it's Park Bay's Os Ayin Aleph, here he says, not exactly talk about a red string, but he talks about, he talks about a red, doesn't say on the wrist, but he says, Ahine Zel, in the Zohar HaKadosh, Zahir Sumka Kemadim, I don't know the Zohar well enough, but some kind of a red thread, and he quotes Kimara Adam Humora Al Dinu Gvura. In Kabbalistic literature, the color red symbolizes Din and Gvura, and he goes on to, huh? That's true also, yeah. Okay, but he's quoting the Sefer Apart in the Shara Gavani. Yeah, red. Yeah. Okay, that's true. He doesn't mention that. Okay. I mean, he what he does do. You're talking about, you know, President's Weekend, red, white, and blue. He talks here about Tchelis. You know, what that symbolizes in terms of the color. But anyway, he's talking about red having certain, midas hagvura, which is a positive thing. He says it's something called, I can't find it now, but agla, olive gimel lamed, olive, is that here? Ata gibur le'olam Hashem, whatever they said. In the Minchas Elazar, the Divrei Torah, he seems to at least, again, he's not talking about per se the red thread, but certainly if one can extrapolate from him, that it would be mutter to do it. And the question is, how do we deal with that? So, the Gemara in Chulin, on Daf Ayin Zayin that we mentioned before, and it's also in Shabbos, but here it's actually in Chulin, it's more brief and in some ways clearer. The Gemara says at the end of the Sugya, on Ayin Zayin, at the end of Amud Beis, the following statement. Abaye and Rava, the Amri Tarvayhu, Kol Dover Sheesh Borufua, Ein Bo Mishum Darkei Hamori, Ein Borufua Yesh Mishum Darkei Hamori. Okay, so Abaye and Rava, the Rambam quoted before, that's where it's from, that we have this concept of, of a refuah. Okay, how do we define something that has refuah? What does it mean, refuah? Okay, so Rashi in Shabbos, on the Sugya in Shabbos, Samach Zayin Amud Aleph, Rashi says, what do we mean by refuah? Again, because if it does have a therapeutic value, then okay, then it's, then it's okay. So Rashi's, huh? Would what? Mental value. Well, that's part of it. Yeah. Let's see. We'll see. Yes. We'll see in the Shulchan Aruch. Again, let me just say, Rashi writes as follows. The Yesh B'Mishum Refuah, that's Shabbos Samach Zayin, Sheniris Refuoso. So Rashi seems to say it has to be shown, it has to be sort of an obvious, an obvious type of refuah. That's what Rashi says. Okay? And that's what the Rambam, the Mar Avuchan we saw before, seemed to say also. He also said it has to be something that it's nikar, that somehow it's known, that the testing has shown, that it has some sort of a therapeutic... No, that's correct. That's of course part of the problem. The Ran opens the door, or let's put it this way, leaves the door a little more open for other things that is not so noticeable, that it's refuah. Let me just find it. In Chulin, it's Chav Zaman Alvin, the page of the Rif, Shadir Maskel Kol Davar. Let me see if I can find it. Okay, I'll find it in a moment. Just a second. Oh, I'm in the wrong place, I'm sorry. The Ran in Shabbos. The Ran in Shabbos on the Aphalamad Amud Beis, in the pages of the Rif. The Ran writes, Kol Dover, Bein Lachas, Bein Kol Dover, Kevin Shanu Yodim Shomer Ape. Alright, something we know that has this refuah. Right, a whole different issue. The Lo Asu Mishum Refuah I'm sorry, V'lo osu ela osum shebodku ve'ein mo'ilim. See, Rashi and the Rambam seem to say that it's only okay, al-tarkim, if we know that it does work. The Ran seems to say, no, it's only usur, we know that it doesn't work. So it's a different side, and the middle is the question. Okay, Rashi, when he says, nirei sufu osur, the Rambam said that it has to be nis'ames, b'nisayon, and so on, seems to be saying, we have to know that this thing works. We have to be able to tell that it works, then it's mutter. But the Ran doesn't seem to say, the Ran, I won't read now, the Ran Achulin is consistent. He seems to say that it's not you have to know what does work, as long as it's not been shown that it doesn't work. The Rashba has a tshuva, yeah. With the pigeons.
Yeah.
My cousin also, and he was cured. Yeah, absolutely. I know more than three people. I don't know. I don't know. But it's known that certain ladies, they come and a pigeon dies, and you. I know from people. My cousin, I have a cousin, Sean, the same thing. You know, she was a guy. I don't know. It worked. I don't know the source. I don't know. I don't know the source, but I'm familiar personally with such stories. Yeah, and a chanami. It works.
One word, control.
Yeah. Let's. Okay, let me just read a little bit because it's getting late. I just want to show a few other makaris in this. The Rashba has a tshuva on this, and Chelek Aleph. The Rashba is bothered by this whole thing. In fact, he begins, he says, you know, I'd like to be able to answer these questions. I'd like to find somebody, ish navon v'chocham, l'hotzieneim v'vuchos hanistoros, to help me out of the confusion here, because I'm pretty confused. The Rashba, he says, ki rabam v'chosan iflam imeni amitosam. I can't really figure out what's right here. Umi yitain v'yadati chocham v'oretz esali rab alai. Let me find a smart person who can be my rabbi in this area. That's the Rashba talking, you know. It's a, you know. But anyway, when we call Makom, he says as follows. He says, Yeshli Makom Ian B'divrei HaRabzal, he's talking about the Rambam, Shemitoch Dvarov Nimtzeinu Lemeidim Shekol Dover Shemitzavo Te'eles Ve'emes Eino B'chal Mashas Torah. Right? Anything which has the benefits, sound the Rambam allows. Bein Miskul Amiti Shemitzavim Gufon Bein Shemitz Ames Mitzad Nisan. Whether it's simply work, that's shown, like a pigeon that's been shown to work, even though it's not logical. He says, later on he says, however, after the Rambam went ahead and said, it's also, but then he said, that, well, if it works, it's not also. Right? So, and what did he rely on? Kol anosim shomim nisanam inyarahu itiul on lismochal. And he said, if people say that it works, then it works. So, the Rashba is, as I said, is concerned, you know, about I don't want to call spheres in the Rambam. I'm just trying to figure out, what it is that we can say that it works, that it doesn't work. It's interesting that there's a tshuva from the Rashba much earlier, in Simon, also Chelek Aleph, in Simon Tess, where he says something else. He says, we know that sometimes, kol dover sheyesh kabbalah b'yad hazakeinu v'hazakeinus ma'amenu, anything which is an old tradition among the elderly men and women of our nation, lo nasi kabarach achar kiyum she'enu be'ef shechalil v'lama nisa kabbalah so'in kabbalah poshet v'yad amenu v'rak shekiblo son dorach hadorach Moshe Rabbeinu olam. Maybe some of these things go way back. And this is the Rashba talking, so, again, it's somebody that we can rely on. The Chavos Yoyer, in one of his tshuvas, writes the following. The Chavos Yoyer, also on this subject, is it... I don't know. The whole issue between Genes and Abishitz and Yakanim started with the Kameas, because the Kameas were these little amulets that people wore that had tzuk, and people wrote Kameas before Genes and Abishitz. Genes and Abishitz were got a lot door in Hamburg in late 1600, early 1700s, I guess, and Yakanim then accused him that he was following Shabtai Tzvi, and then his Kameas were Rosser. That was the beginning of the whole issue. Right, that was his issue. I understand. Listen to the lesson of the Chavos Yoyer. Tshuva Reish Lamed Aleph. Ulina halacha lemaisa nira dechol ma shenispashet eitzal hanoshim min hagam hanach liYisrael. Right, we can, as he says, the mistama nodu b'nisayon mahor lehem mor leheter lechein ein lesor. Okay, so these are strong terms from people who are regular authorities and regular regular poskim. Okay. All right, maybe we have to read the. Yeah, but no, he says maybe it goes all the way back. That's what he's saying. I think maybe I'm exaggerating. Yeah, it's interesting in its own right. In the Shulchan Aruch, we find the following Hilchos Shabbos, and we'll move to wrap up in Siman Shin Aleph of Hilchos Shabbos, Arachayim Siman Shin Aleph. The Shulchan Aruch says, and again, the Rashba also, the other children, I'm not going to read the sign of the Rashba also has this idea similar to the Ran, that it's only Usur if it's Mufursam and L'Isser. We know that it's, it doesn't work and it's Mufursam, that it's not good. In the Shulchan Aruch, we find both days. Siman Shin Aleph, Siman Chav Zayin, Hilchos Shabbos, Yotzim, the Beit Zacharol, the Shein Shul Shul, all these things I mentioned in the Mishnah, Bein B'chol, Bein B'Shabbos, Ein Bo Mishum Darke Hamori, not Darke Hamori, Pasim Z'Mechaber, V'chein B'chol Dover Shum Mishum Refua, Aval Im Osa Maisa V'Ein Nikar Bo Shum Mishum Refua, but if it's not known that it's Refua, then it's Osa Mishum Darke Hamori. Okay? V'lo Osru Ela Bo Osa Mishum Shabodkan V'Ein Amoilim. So he Pasim like the Rat, that it's only Osa if it's been investigated and it doesn't work. But, he says, V'yesh Misha Chashash B'chol Kimeya, others say the other way, no, if we not, like the Rambam's way, that if it's not been shown, or Rashi's way, not been shown to work, so the show, yeah, but if he says it's both. Okay, now. Yeah, he says, Bein B'chol, Bein B'Shabbos. Okay. That's something else. Okay. Anyway, that's the Shulchan Aruch. He sort of hedges his bet, so to speak, and quotes both sheets. If somebody asked, Yanki asked before about the mental, end of it. So the Me'iri, the Me'iri in Shabbos, on the Samach Zayin of Aleph, he says, sometimes people at that time are batuach ba'osa inyanim. People rely on it. People think it works. Okay? And hayativam mischazik, the nimsa mitzad ahergo, ezer tivi bahem. It's not the worst. We call that the placebo effect. Right? It really doesn't do anything, but in the person's mind, it seems to be helpful, psychological. Okay? And that's the Me'iri again. He quotes it in Shabbos on that same sugya, in the base of Achira, and the truth is that Shita appears as well in the Shulchan Aruch. I close it already. In the Shulchan Aruch, in Yoredeya, Simin Kufia.
But no proponent of the
Bendel
says it works through.
I know. That's true.
They all say it comes supernatural.
Right. So would that work? Probably not. I have to tell you that I think it would be I'm trying to be Lama Tzvos, but I think it would have to be a stretch. I agree with you. We'll see some other things that are less of a stretch. I'll just mention the Shulchan Aruch says in Kuf Ayin Tes, there are days Sivov, Misha Nosho Achrov, okay? Someone's bitten by a scorpion, Mutar Lilchos Alav, to certain incantations, Afilu B'Shabbos, the Afal Pi Shein Adover Mol Klum, even though it doesn't help, Ho'el Umasukano Hitiro Kedei Shalo Titareif Dato Alav. He won't be, if he thinks it helps, that's, yeah. Huh? That's the Shulchan Aruch. Okay. I just want to.
He said, the rule is
no, but he's talking here in Hilchos Ma'onah Mechashah, not Hilchos Shabbos. I think he's saying in general. I don't think so. It's all even on Shabbos. He says even on Shabbos. Even. Yeah. Absolutely. I think that's how I read. Okay, very quickly, a couple of other things. Tosis and Bob Metzia. Yeah. Lochish is to mumble incantations. I don't know what else to say. That's the issue. The Rambam, maybe another time I can talk about what Lochish is. The Rambam there in Hilchos Avodas Chachamim talks about saying Tehillim. Okay, saying Tzukim or applying Tzukim. Okay. Anyway, there in Hilchos Avodas Chachamim, I know. I'll talk about that another time. Let me just move to a little bit further. I just want to mention, so we talked about the placebo effect. There is a question. Now you asked Lal about the red Bendel not having any medicinal value. They didn't even claim that it has a medicinal value. The question is, we've been talking all along about refuah, but what about other benefits? Well, let's say it's not a refuah benefit, but it has other benefits. So the truth is, the Chassam Sofer, one of his tshuvas in Chelek Aradeyev, Simul Kuf Lamed Ches, he says sometimes things we're allowed to do them, even if it's not necessarily a medical benefit. And listen to what he says, and this opens up a whole door to a different discussion. We can do certain things because it'll help the person, it's a pidyon nefesh, dugmaso ha-kaparos shano hagin, just like we do kaparos. Okay, that's an Erev Yom Kippur. So that's a whole, yeah, so many people are against kaparos for this whole. Yeah, the Zakemor. Yeah, the Rishonim say about it. I mean, the Rishonim. Yeah, the Ramban and the Rishonim. The Maram Shik, who is one of the Talmidim of the Sam Sofer, writes in what? Yeah, right. The Hindu, right. Then it's ironic because in the Shulchan Aruch, you know, you would expect about Kaporas that it would be Mechaber who talk about it, and the Ramo would say, but it's the opposite. The Sahanim Daka don't. Not a son to Kaporis. Okay, anyway, just very quickly, the Maram Shik, who's a Talmud of Sam Sofer, and Mitzvah Reis, Samach Gimel, he has like a Sefer on Mitzvahs, he says, anything, Kol Siyesh Limto Shum Tam or Remez, anything which has some type of hint to it, is Eimbo Mishum Dar Kemor. He refers to his Rebbe, the Sam Sofer, and he says that it could even extend to things which are not necessarily medicinal or therapeutic in nature. If you hold like that, then perhaps there's some more Limut Schus on the red vendals. The Shilta Gevorim disagrees. The Shifra Geborim in Simon Lamed Aleph says, you can't do all these things that we mentioned before about hanging the shilya, the placenta and so on, that you can't do, he says, because even though it's the refuah habahema, right, that helps the animal, apparently, right? Lo hitira dover shem shufa ela berefuah gufo shel adam. All these things that are mutter are things that have therapeutic value to a person, velo berefuah mama, and not to heal your monetary problem. So, Shifra Geborim says the other way. Two other quick things I want to mention. Again, it's a little bit of a limud schus. The Korban Edah, that was one of the commentaries in the Yerushalmi, has the back of the Yerushalmi, some called the Shiare Korban. And there on that sugi in Shabbos, in Yerushalmi in Shabbos, he says another point. He says certain things, Efshar, remember Zidiyu said it hit to this before, Kevon She'ovar Zechar Hamorim Lo Choshu Bekach. What about the fact that these were once done by certain goyim who don't exist anymore? Nobody knows that they're even that there were practices handled by non-Jews. The Korban Edah opens the door to saying that if the practice is no longer identified with that of a non-Jew, that these who are the Amorim? There's no Amorim today. What do you mean dark Amorim? There's no Amorim anymore, and nobody even knows who they are, what they were, or what their practices were. So therefore, here the Korban Edah has this suggestion. He's not a Das Yachid. There's a safer. On the Sefer Chassidim of Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, and in the back of the Sefer Chassidim, this will finish up, there's something called the Tzavah of Rabbi Yehuda Chassid. And he has some awfully strange things there, unusual practices, some of which seem to be in direct violation to some of these dinim of Dark Amori. So people have comments about it, so the Eshel Avram is printed in the back of the Shulchan Buchach. The Eshel Avram of Buchach has a paper called Mili the Chassidusa, which is printed in the back of the Sefer Chassidim. He's talking here about a chicken that, a Tarnagolis, Shakara Kimotarnagol, a female chicken, a hen, which I guess cock-a-doodle-doo is like a male chicken. He says you have to shecht it right away, and whatever. Anyway, one thing he mentions here is Gam Ula Yesh Lomar, Shabizmano Kvarn Lo Nishma Ba'olem Shiakpido Amorim Bizer. It could be that the days of Yehuda Chassid, there were no goyim didn't do this. It wasn't a goyish practice. It was no one else ever heard of it except Yehuda Chassid, right? So then it wasn't known as a goyish practice. And Shlomo Kluger says also in his Tshuvas Halacha Shlomo, Halacha Shlomo Yoredeya, did I write down? Yeah, in Yoredeya Simon Reish Tesvav, he also has a comment similar to this. He says maybe first of all. First, we have to know that it was dark emori. Who says the dark emori? Who says the red string was dark emori? Who says? And he says, and not only that, the av shegem gam heim osim kein ula havel hepuch. The heim lomdu haskulam eitanu. Maybe they learned it from us. Maybe there were goyim who did it. So again, it's very, very shver, but at least, in my opinion, but at least it's a little bit of a limud schus. And finally, the other limud schus possibly, and again, I'm not advocating it, but, the truth is, in the Sefer Yerayim, in that same source, Nagos Manes quotes in Hilchos Avodas Chachamim, Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph, and the Smag seems to say it in Mitzvah Nun, Losas and Nun, says, the Gemara didn't quote all those Tosefta's. So who says the Halacha is like the Tosefta? The Tosefta has two whole prokim which list off things Eil Mishum Dark Amor, and the Gemara only presents nine of them. So the Lashon, the Urayim, we'll take my word for it now, but it's in it. He says, Ein lahos, we have no right now to start adding things to that which Chazal asked. And now he may have been talking, including the Tosefta. But I'm not making this up. This, the truth is the Beis Yosef. No less a significant authority than the Beis Yosef in the end of the Siman, Kufayin Ches, says that it's possible that this is only, it's only us or those ones that the Gemara quoted. Lamaisa, the red thing around the finger, the red string, was not brought in the Gemara. So one could make a case that even though, we don't want to, again, I'm not advocating wearing the red bendel, but if you want to put some of these coolers together, you want to be mitzarif some of these coolers, that maybe you can extend it not only to medical things, but if it shows to help in other ways, if it does, if it gives you the placebo effect that we mentioned before, a person feels better, and perhaps it's not identified with goyim anymore, because I don't know, are there goyim who do this? I'm not sure. What? Yeah, but she does it because of us. That's the Shlomo Kluger. That's the Shlomo Kluger, right? He said that they got it from us, right? That she got it from the Kabbalah Center, I think, I started with. Okay. The Bach holds like you. I'm not saying you should. I'm just trying to melamed schor. So you put all these things together. The Bach doesn't like. The Bach says, no, why should you say it's only those things in the Gemara? But the Beis Yosef, who is the Beis Yosef after all, seems to say perhaps it's only those, maybe. He says it as a maybe. So you have all these maybes. I'll just end though. I'll just, huh?
Yeah.
Right.
And it's mutter because of the
poor. And it's mutter because of I'll just end with the Ramah's language. The Ramah says in the Simon Kuf Ayin Ches, Sif Aleph, the Ramah himself, and this is what I think we should follow, he says, we're not allowed to do anything which they do. O v'davar shenagu l'minagu l'chok and ein tam v'davar, d'ika l'meches b'ay mishum darke hamori. Personally, I think it's very, very difficult. And if someone would ask me, I remember once asked a Shechter, who exactly started this practice of wearing red bendels? And he said, I don't know who started it, but whoever started it should stop it. So that was his take on it. And I think that again, if somebody comes and asks, but somebody who's wearing it, so perhaps we have a number of Mudas course. Anyway, we're someone to go to Bach again. Next week will be a regular shiur on Yoni Purim, Biz Hashem. The following week is Purim, so no shiur. We invite everyone again to our house on Purim Day between 1:30 and 4 o'clock. A good to Bach.